broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances that the founding fathers put in place, absolutely brilliant, and one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. As you know, we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand free radio at your fingertips. But if you believe we provide value, please reciprocate and donate today. LibertyRoundtable.com. Now, Saturday's recap. What's fascinating about Saturday is I spend the first hour, news the networks refuse to use, Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review. Man, we cover a lot of news. It takes me a whole hour to break down the recap of the previous 6 days or 12 hours of radio. Incredible. I struggle to get it all in, but we do the best we can. And if you ever miss Liberty Roundtable Live, go read the show notes at libertyroundtable.com. And I'm telling you right now, if you want a double down consolidated briefing, check out the first hour every Saturday morning. Just radio at your fingertips on demand, and it works whenever fits your schedule. It's a great way to catch up, reading the show notes then listening to that broadcast. Wow. All right, second hour we talked about, is there a 10-foot wall outside of Obama's house? The Daily Caller says we went there to find out, and there are multiple cement and iron barricades blocking the roads going both directions leading up to the Obama mansion. Donald Trump simply says the United States needs the same thing Barack's got, just a slightly larger version. Wow. We also talked about trying to reopen the government. The news tells us over and over they're trying to reopen the government. They're sitting now and every day talking about it. They're not trying to reopen the government, folks. That's an absolute blatant, bold-faced lie. And I'll tell you how I know. If they really wanted to open the government, they could. Right? They don't have any problem voting themselves pay raises. They don't have any problem violating the Constitution. That happens routinely. It's only when they want to follow the Constitution and only when they want to do something right to protect God, family, and country that they have problems. Okay, they're not trying to open the government at all, or else it would be open. Donald doesn't need to shut down the government to build the wall. Now, that being said, I want you to be very clear on what I'm saying. They don't want to open the government or it would be open, period, end of paragraph. They don't need to shut down the government to get a border wall, end of paragraph. They also need to leave the unconstitutional portions of government shut down forever. Let me say that again. They need to leave the unconstitutional, rogue elements, rogue agents, rogue departments, unconstitutionality in government. They need to leave that shut forever. Now, the constitutional portion of government, the legitimate proper role of limited government based on checks and balances and based on appropriate delegated authority, that needs to remain open permanently. You heard me. I'm not anti-government. The portion of government that is legitimate, proper, constitutional, with authority and appropriate delegation, that ought to stay open forever. And you know what? They could get this done tomorrow if they really tried. But what they do is they play games and play games and play games, and they triple down on partisan politics. They steal your tax dollars and take their own salaries while they leave the government in shambles. It's an absolute disgrace, and I submit to you that all members of Congress should be fired, and they should impeach the president over this. Yeah, you say I'm crazy, huh? All right. Well, Pat Roberts, GOP senator in Kansas, looks like he's going to go ahead and retire, so thank heavens another guy out. I looked up the John Birch Society's Freedom Index on him. He gets a 61, so, you know, we'll probably get a worse Democrat in there, and then we'll just say, well, the bar's around 20, so if we get somebody in there that does 50, it's pretty good, you know, and there you go, right? For Native Americans, they say the shutdown cuts lifeline of everyday services, writes the New York Times. And I doubled down and talked about this. Why do we have Indians in America, or Native Americans, or whatever you want to call them? Why do we have them as kind of second-class citizens? In a way, they have their own country, though they have some degree of sovereignty. On one hand, we stole their land and pushed them onto these places where the land's not very good. Then we let these private corporations go in and drill and get oil and exploit them. And then we act like they're on the dole and they got to have lifeline services every day. And why do we have them in this modern idea where we're going to reject slavery, which I reject slavery, but then we're going to have these poor Native Americans in this situation where they're just on the dole depending on the handouts for their daily lifeline? When are we going to take a step back and say we're all God's children? Look, Indian reservations, you can either be elevated to your own countries or you can become a state of the union, but we're not going to continually leave you on this second-class citizen handout and you're kind of sovereign, but not really. You got to vote in Congress, but not really kind of status. When are we going to quit playing games here? We've got Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands in kind of a similar scenario, don't we? When are we going to stop that and be honest with ourselves, huh? They tell you that I'm a racist, but I'm the only one advocating for these people? I mean, what on earth is going on around here? The federal government owes us this, claimed the Native American tribal leaders. We prepaid with millions of acres of land. I get it. I also get that how long can we leave this disparity going on? How long can we leave them on the lifeline of the government? The Constitution demands better, ladies and gentlemen. The morality of America demands better. All right, we played a clip. Dinesh D'Souza talks about how he got his pardon from Donald Trump. And you know the man singularly responsible to help Dinesh D'Souza get free? Ted Cruz. Good for Ted. Now I wish he'd advocate for a few more folks that are innocent in prison. We talked about misconduct in federal prisons goes unpunished. House study says, Timothy Williams writes the article, incredible article about the corruption going on in government prisons across the nation. Believe it or not, most of the reasons people are in prison on a federal level are unconstitutional in the first place, folks. There's no authority. But there you have it. We also talked about the Department of Justice investigating Ryan Zinke for apparently lying to officials. What about when the FBI lies? Are they going to be accountable? Is it just constitutional conservatives or, you know, the folks on Donald's team? Is it, okay, what about this selective enforcement going on? But we've begged Donald to put a panel together to look into these criminal activities and these wrongful denial of due process scenarios. We've been trying ever since Donald got in office, and so far, it's fallen on deaf ears. Ann Coulter said she'd even accept the border fence. She said, I would like exactly what Israel has. Well, Donald says the people want the wall. The people have doubled down and said they want the wall. Congress rejects the wall, including Republicans. And as Kurt Wisely says, what the heck is a Republican anyway? All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Saturday. That was 1 hour of news, folks. Can you believe that stuff? And then the recap of the week before that. We are live Monday through Saturday, 6 days a week to tell the tale of liberty. Speaking of that, News the Network's Refused to Use starts now. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. All right, we lost Kurt. We'll try to get him back. Lowell Nelson, you with us, buddy?
I am, sir.
Welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you were involved in a big old couple-of-week Christmas philanthropy effort, right?
That was certainly part of our Christmas vacation, yes. This year, went down to Mexico, and there was a young women's group up there in Idaho that made a bunch of stick horses. I'm talking like 6, 7, 8 dozen these stick horses. They made them just out of, you know, fabric and poles and paint and just really nice little gifts. And so we took these down and, you know, put them in different cars, different vehicles, so that we wouldn't be accused of trying to sell stuff down there. And then when we got down there, we got to paint a couple of homes for some needy families. The inside of them, painted them. One went, both with white ceilings, and then one with blue walls and one with yellow walls. And then at the same time, we gave out these stick horses to little, you know, children in the plane, in the neighborhood, and filmed. My wife, in fact, filmed a lot of this, so we got a video coming on it, and it's just delightful. The squeals of delight and joy on these little. These youngsters who are playing with their stick horses, and of course the thanks in the hearts of the young families that that needed their houses painted, didn't have means to do it, so we went in there and did it, you know, for them and with them.
Now, let me double down and get this straight, just to be very clear so people get it. You are for a border wall and for national security, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're also for making America great again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because those things are true, they would like us to believe that you're a racist, that you hate the Mexican people, that you just don't care about anybody but yourself, and you're a nationalist, and therefore you know, and they would try to paint this picture of Lowell that would be completely inaccurate. The truth is, everything I just stated is correct, but it's also correct that you hope to make Mexico great again. It's also correct that you believe the Mexican people are children of God, and you just spent your Christmas in an effort to make their lives better. Am I accurate on this?
Yeah, you sure are, Sam. They're great people. Love our time down there among them.
You want to make Mexico great again?
Absolutely.
All right.
But as you and I both know, Sam, to make America great, we need to make America good again, meaning the population, the people who live here need to find goodness in their heart and virtue, and that's really how we will make America great, truly great again.
Amen to that. And I bring all this up, though, just because I believe that it's important to understand the truth. None of us hate Mexicans. None of us are racist. None of us want Mexico to do poorly. None of us. Okay, it isn't a matter of that. It's that I want to reward the good guys everywhere. I want to stop criminal activity everywhere. I want to uphold the rule of law in the United States of America. And that includes updating the law if it's problematic, like our border is, like our current immigration laws are. But that doesn't mean that I hate anybody. The truth shall set you free, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Caller coming up. I'll try to get Kurt back, too. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio, ladies and gentlemen.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, and you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to fly quick. I got a full deck, man. We got Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. He's got a whole list of topics to cover. And I got a topic that I want to bring up with him as well, but he is back from Mexico. He wants to help make Mexico great again, and so do I. Meanwhile, caller from Arkansas. You there, sir?
Yeah, how are you?
Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Go quick.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate something. The Hispanic population had a higher vote for Donald Trump than usual. And I also wanted to touch on something else, maybe off topic, but you talk about the media censorship. I'm just wondering if you've ever considered going on some of these alternative platforms like Real.Video, or if you've ever considered charging a subscription for people to hear the broadcast like some people have done in the past.
Yeah, so the answer to your question is we're not doing video, so we're not really on Real.Video, although I support it completely. And when it comes to alternatives, we have built our own alternative, LibertyNewsRadio.com. You know, we have the ability to be on Alexa, we're there. We have the ability to be on Google stuff, we're there. We have the ability to be on Stitcher, we're there. We have the ability to be on, RSS feed, we're there. So we're on a lot of those platforms by secondary delivery. What I mean by that is we use our own platform. We use a group called Blueberry that syndicates our podcasts to all these different places. But since we're on Blueberry, we are separate from all of them. And I bring that all up because if they should carry our stuff, great. If they should try to pretend that they hate us and block us, then we're still independent of them. So we are building an alternative, not just going to alternatives. However, I'm not against going to any of those alternatives. I work with several different radio networks that carry our shows. We have phone lines that carry our shows in case all these other methods are down. You can even go to a phone line and listen. So we have a ton of alternatives, and I support these alternatives. So that's number one. But in terms of video, we're not doing video. So, we haven't put up video files. Sometimes people put on YouTube or one of these other places an interview that we do or something like that. But I don't spend a lot of time working on these mainstream platforms, and I certainly support all these alternatives. There's also several alternatives that people have tried to create that I've reached out to, and they tend to ignore us. So we'll just build our own thing, do our own thing, tell the tale of liberty, and the more we can spread it, the better, sir. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I was just wondering because there's a broadcaster that got kicked off Coast to Coast AM, and he did his own thing, but you have to pay to listen to him. And I know sometimes you've talked about. I understand.
So when it comes to paying to listen, our view is this: we're teaching the principles of God, family, and country, and we're protecting life, liberty, and property. And I would love people to donate because every penny that we get will be used to grow our presence in the media. And you know what? I got a day job. So does Kurt. So do most of the guests, if not all the guests that we have on the radio. We're not begging for your money so we can go on vacation. I mean, our guest right now just is engaging on his own dime in a philanthropy effort to make Mexico great again, to try to help out there. That's what he does with his Christmas breaks. Okay, so we're not begging for money to feed our families or go to Disneyland. We are saying, though, that if we provide value to you as a listener, then please donate. We could use every penny we can get. But that doesn't mean that if somebody doesn't have the money that we're going to charge for it. We want to create a balance between, hey, this is the greatest educational effort in modern times. And as a result, we certainly don't want to create any barriers to that education. And so it's kind of a balance, but we don't want to charge for it for those reasons.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll let you get back to your guest.
All right, thank you, sir. Godspeed. We appreciate you. Lowell, do you want to respond to the caller really quick, and then we'll move along?
Well, I just wanted to ask a follow-up question to that.
Hopefully he stayed on. You there, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. And now, Ben Swan with Reality Check was putting together a platform that was going to be independent of these big media giants as well. Have you heard them anything more?
Yeah, so I know he cranked it up. I know it's funded by cryptocurrency, and I know that he's doing a good job and things are growing. I am friends with Ben. I know Ben. I support his efforts completely. I have reached out to him to see if we could work together. So far, he's so swamped or busy that he hasn't given me a call back, but I'm certainly willing to pursue that, and I like Ben's efforts, and I'll support it in any way possible. How far we'll get, depending on how busy he is, time will tell. I know Ben's a lot more into video, too. And what seems to happen when people start to love video is they simply, radio becomes the unwanted stepchild many times. So with that in mind, now I'm not saying Ben's doing that. I'm just making a point that video seems to eclipse radio oftentimes. But nevertheless, I support Ben 100%, and I'll help him all that I can.
Well, and one more comment about that. Podcasts are very, very popular because people can listen while they're on the go. And so even while we see the popularity of videos begin to rise, I also think there's a commensurate rise in the popularity of a simply radio broadcast that are, packaged in a podcast so people can listen to them on the go. I know that I listen to a number of podcasts on the go, and I also appreciate very much you're putting Liberty Roundtable in that format, because I always go back and I look at your show notes page for the previous week when I began thinking about some of the things that I'd like to talk about. So it makes it very nice, and the listener can look at that podcast, look at the show notes, and then pretty much zero in on any part of your broadcast they want to do. So I think number one, you're doing great with the podcast, and then with the show notes together with that. You make your information, your shows, very accessible to the listeners. And I don't think that's going to go away. I think that audio-only, news shows like yours, like Liberty Roundtable, I think they're growing in popularity, Sam. I think
I think they are too. And we do the show notes because we get that everybody. I mean, you know, look, we're on the air 12 hours a week. That's a lot of time, and we get that people just. I mean, how do you listen to 12 hours on Sam and Kurt? And then, you know, if you have a couple of other favorite hosts too, pretty soon you're just inundated with radio. And our goal is to say, listen, we get that you can't, you know, follow everything. But if you read the show notes, you're caught up literally. I mean, it takes you less than 5 minutes to read the headlines. You're caught up on the things we talk about. If something's of interest, you know which hour it's in. You know about within the hour where it is, meaning if it's at the start of the notes, it's in the beginning of the show. If it's at the end of the notes, it's in the end. You know, some organizations have exact time markers and stuff like that. I wish we could do that. It's too hard just because the program is a little bit free-flowing. For example, we just took Kevin's call, and that, you know, from the show notes, that derails the whole thing, right? At least from a timing perspective. Now, I don't mean that his comments aren't valuable or that it derails the content of the show. I don't think so. I think it's great. I'm just saying that it would be very hard to adjust for a time marker like that, especially with the massive staff that we've got. You know, Sam and Kurt, halftime each. Another friend or two that's halftime or quarter time when they can, kind of thing. And that's about all that it takes to run this whole network. We probably run the thing on about $100,000 a year total with everybody involved, even if you include pay for everybody and stuff. And so all I'm telling you is we provide a tremendous amount of content, and we do the best we can. There's kind of a sweet spot, a little bit of the 80-20 rule in terms of how much time we can spend. Now, if we decided to go full-time, raise real money, use that for our day job and get paid doing it, you know, we could make things a lot nicer and a lot more. But now you're talking about you got to get advertisers. You can't fund it out of your own pocket. And then pretty soon you got to do what those advertisers say. And, you know, it starts to get very sticky fast. And, you know, we've been in radio 25 years. I think we found the sweet spot. And we believe that radio is kind of the best of all worlds. You got the show notes if you want to read. If you don't want to read, you can listen while you're in your car and commuting or whatever you're doing. And we try to get the word out as inexpensively to as many people as we possibly can. And that's why we've got the phone lines, even if you don't have internet. We've got downloads if you need to take it on the road with you. We've got it. We try to make it as ubiquitous or as anywhere as we possibly can. Final word on this is yours, Kevin.
Yeah, I was just wondering what you think of Michael Savage going to podcasting and only doing 1 hour a day. I've heard that.
Well, here's what's comical. They used to mock us for being podcasters. Now, we are AM and FM terrestrial radio as well, but they used to kind of mock us about the podcasting and stuff, and now they're all following suit for some reason. So I just simply say, you know what? Good for Michael. He realizes the mainstream press had a muzzle on him, and I wish Michael Savage had joined with guys like us and helped fund us, and I'll put him on more than 1 hour a day.
Oh, yeah.
But how do you get to Michael and talk to him about that? How do I fly to San Francisco and sit down with Mr. Savage and help him out there, you know? How do you get a hold of him?
I don't know. You could email him, but then what's the chance of you almost have to know someone that knows him?
That's right. And I've emailed him before trying to, you know, talk about prison reform and a variety of important topics that we feel like is important. And I simply, you know, can't get a hold of anybody. You know, Alex Jones in the alternative media probably has the best connection with Michael Savage, but I can't get a hold of Alex these days either. So all I'm telling you is we're doing the best we can. We'd love to work with any of those guys, but I just don't see how. I mean, you know, I'd have to stop my day job to try to work on it, you know, or I'd have to fly to San Francisco and knock on his door. And if I'm not careful, I'll end up getting arrested. And I mean, it just doesn't end. And so, I appreciate the ideas and I support it. Again, we talked about Michael Savage moving to podcasts, and he's realizing how vital the medium really is. And what's fascinating to me about that is, you know, I told you so is all I got to say. I mean, I've been telling everybody podcasts are where it's at for literally, well, I've been telling people internet radio is where it's at since 94, people. Okay, I'm just telling you, I've been at it for a long time. And right when everybody else was starting to get into the internet, I had live streams on air. So this is nothing new to us. Thanks, Kevin.
Quick.
Yeah, go. Go ahead real quick, Kevin. All right, well, quick pause. Sam, Kurt, Lowe, we got a bunch to cover. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials. Mm. Meow.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I know Lowell's got a ton of important topics to cover, but I'm telling you right now, we don't shut down callers. Okay, now I might get rid of a caller if they're not being helpful, if they're just being argumentative. I'll give them a chance to make their points, even if we disagree, but I won't just sit there and argue, and I won't let people take over my show. But I will let people make valuable points, and I will give even people who disagree a chance to have their say. But I won't let them completely control the show. In the meantime, though, Lowell, I think that Kevin brought up some really valuable points. I will say this. I've tried to reach out to several different people. Tom, what's his name? He does a great show.
Joshua?
No. Tom, he wrote a bunch of books about the 10th Amendment and Nullify Now.
Oh, Tom Woods.
Yeah, Tom Woods. Okay, I've tried to reach out to people like Tom Woods, and they don't write me back. And then I get a hold of some lower-level person, and they're like, oh, you know what? We do a podcast, and we don't make the timing, you know, consistent every time. It just changes every time. And, well, I can't put them on our network if they don't make consistent timing. That's just radio, right? I mean, I can't control that. I support their podcasts. I support their shows. I commend them for what they're doing. All I'm saying is I'd like to work together to support them. I'd like to appear on their shows as a guest. I'd like them to appear on our show as a guest. I'd like to help promote their podcasts. I'd like to turn their podcasts into radio and help syndicate them. I mean, I'll do all that I can. But when I reach out to folks, they've got to participate. I mean, I just can't. I can't make people come aboard and do things. Okay, so we've reached out to Tom. We've reached out to that guy that does. What's that guy that does the anti-war stuff? He does a great job, too.
Oh, yeah, Scott Horton.
All right, Scott Horton. So I've reached out by email to Scott Horton, and I don't get a call back. Again, he's kind of the same scenario. And a lot of these media people are great people. They're just independent. They're just doing their own thing. And they're like, hey, I got a lot of listeners. I'm just doing fine. I don't need your help. I don't need to work with you, Sam. You know, and I don't think they mean any slight to us at all. I'm just saying they're doing their own thing. And that's part of the independence movement that we're all involved in, too. You know, you got to give people credit. They're just saying, hey, man, I'm just doing my own thing. And I have respect for that, although I'd like to help more and I'd like to create synergism in our efforts. But I understand them. And I don't think they mean any harm, or I don't think there's any rift between us. I just think they're doing their thing and I'm doing mine. And I'd be open to working together with any of them. I'd fly to wherever they are and sit down and work out anything. And I'm all about it. But I can only do so much myself. With our massive staff and my day job, it's really hard to just hunt these guys down and work on it. You know, I reach out and then I just kind of say, hey, you know what? I'm making the offer and I'm making the overture to make a difference. And so I support these alternatives too. Any last comments on that, Lowell?
No, I think you summarized it very well, Sam. And I definitely appreciate your efforts to grow the show and do all that you're doing. I think it's fantastic. And, you know, we'll just continue on and what becomes you know, I think our continual efforts will produce good results, and so we just keep on doing what we do.
All right, you sent me a headline that I'm going to slightly rewrite with your permission. Your headline says Utah joins the union 123 years ago, and I'm going to say Utah joins a more perfect union 123 years ago. What do you say to that?
Well, I like it, sir. Yeah.
All right, go ahead, sir. Catch us up on this. This is actually really cool.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I know I realize that not everybody's from Utah, and they're not going to, you know, be too excited about this, but for somebody who grew up in Idaho and not knowing the history of the state of Utah, it's interesting to know that 123 years ago, a new star was added to the flag of the United States, and it was the 45th star. So we were the 45th out of 50 states, we meaning Utah. Utah was the 45th state out of 50 that joined the more perfect union. Now, and so apparently there was a ton of celebrations. They had spent almost five decades applying for, you know, trying to become a state, but they were denied over and over again. And finally, when President Grover Cleveland was president of the United States during his administration, apparently Congress, you know, allowed Utah to become a state. The year was 1896, and, you know, James E. Talmadge describes the excitement in this fashion. He says, quote, "The expected message reached Salt Lake City that Grover Cleveland, President of the United States, had signed the proclamation, which makes the admission of Utah to the Union of States complete. The news of the admission was welcomed by the firing of cannon and small arms, the shrieking of steam whistles, and every other kind of noise which could be produced." End of quote. So apparently there were a lot of people pretty excited about becoming a state and joining the union. And so I just thought it was interesting that this little bit of history, 123 years ago, 1896, Utah joined a more perfect union, Sam.
And I want to kind of mention this to those of you who believe that we tell the tale from the tops of the Rocky Mountains of anti-government. You absolutely don't understand history. You are either completely misinformed or an absolute double down liar. Because the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, nicknamed the Mormons, have a history of doing everything they can to uphold the proper role of limited constitutional government. Even in the Mormon scripture, it says, befriend the Constitution. Befriend that law which is constitutional. And so we support the proper role of government. Where we have a problem is when government runs off the rails and violates the checks and balances the Founding Fathers put in place, and or when government takes authority that it was never properly delegated and misuses that authority, then we have something to speak out about. Otherwise, it is about the role of constitutional government. And that's why I rewrite the headline and say, Utah joins a more perfect union 123 years ago. That was even after 50 years of trying and getting shut down over and over and over. That was after getting kicked out of the United States, literally, with... you know, open season on Mormons, if you will. And we left under duress, under force. But even when they asked us to help in the Mexican War, we did so. So we've done our very best to support the United States, no matter what they have done. And I submit to you, even the blacks and any other group in history, the Indians, the Mormons have been treated worse than them all, or than they all. What would be the proper word there? Kurt will fix that for me soon, I'm sure. But all I'm telling you is what group has been more abused than the Mormons? There's been no other group that has been literally forced to flee. with bare feet, women and children in tow. And then while they're on their way leaving, they're asked to help fight a war on behalf of the country that just kicked them out. And then working for 50 years to become a state and celebrating when it happens. What group has been more loyal than the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Their prophet back in the day ran for president because he felt like there needs to be a redress of grievance. And there needs to be a defense of religion. That's the reason the pilgrims came. No matter if your religion be different than another, et cetera, et cetera. We have done everything that we can to support the proper role of government and to support the true principles of liberty. And I submit to you, history more than proves it. Lol.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Sam. And thank you for bringing all that up. You know, my wife and I just happened to watch part two of the Work in the Glory series movie, you know, and where that very event is described, you know, where women and children were forced out of their homes without notice, and many of them walked on, you know, 15 miles, I guess, to find a place to shelter, because they were expelled from Missouri, you know, Jackson County, Missouri. They were forced out of their homes, had to walk in the nighttime and in the snow, and I mean, a terrible, terrible, you know, miscarriage of justice. I mean, just the bullied out of their homes, and you're right, you know, the church has for decades been very, very supportive and of the Constitution and of the Union, and so I just think it's a tribute to the members of that church, and so my hat's off to them for that, Sam.
And it also really painstakingly documents, in my humble opinion, that, you know what, America has its problems. Americans were not kind to the Mormons. They were not kind to the Indians. They were not kind to the blacks in many cases. They were not kind to the white indentured servants. I mean, we've got a checkered past if you really want to dig into the mistakes America has made. I get that. I choose not to dwell on those, although I'm not afraid of highlighting them as a reality check. I want to highlight them because I want to make sure history never repeats itself on those negative notes. At the same time, I'm not going to spiral into America's bad, America's evil, America's wrong. America's made plenty of mistakes, but you know what? It is the greatest country on the face of the earth. Despite how people got here and despite the wrongs done, it has brought more liberty to more people in the history of the world than any other reality that we can point to in history. And so I celebrate the good and I highlight the bad to make sure we don't repeat it. But I'm telling you, America is a phenomenal country. And even those who have come here and suffered tough times, such as the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, look, we're not begging for reparations. We're merely saying, I want to make sure that never repeats to any religion. Any group. And we need to treat each other like God's children that we are. That, you know what? We're not greater or less than another. We need to treat all with respect. We're all created in God's image. And the Master, Jesus Christ, gives us the blueprint of how we ought to behave towards one another. And I just simply say we need to highlight the wrongs to make sure they're never repeated. But at the same time, we need to celebrate the plenty of good that there really is. We got to keep it in context. And it's easy to get sideways, especially if you felt wronged. But it's a mistake, and the true thing is to step back and see the real picture. Hey, America is great, sir, even with the wrongs that have been done to many groups.
Well said, Sam, and I also think it's appropriate to note that, generally speaking, it's not the people that do the wrong, it's the politicians. It's the people in power lusting for more gain, more power, more authority that cause these bad things to happen, whether it's against the Mormons, against the Indians, against the Negroes. I mean, generally speaking, it's not the common person that's causing these bad things.
Amen to that. Quick pause. I hope we can get the rest in Lowell's Gottman. He's got so much. Hang tight, folks. Liberty Roundtable Live. Nothing like it, huh?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Man, I wish Lowell had time to stay with us the second hour. He's got such incredible commentary to discuss, and I feel bad. I've kind of derailed it in a way, but I felt like those topics are really important, too. Anyway, Utah joins a more perfect union 123 years ago, and blessed be the day that that happened. Despite any problems we might find, it is a blessed nation, and I pray that we can do all we can to return to the Republic's principles that make America great, and I hope we can be a good enough people to usher in the return of the Savior Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Friday evening, you had a meeting with state legislators. Kind of an interesting response on that one, huh, Lowell?
Yes, Sam. 75 people attended the meeting. It was very well attended. I mean, people typically don't come out to just, you know, talk politics, but they were interested to meet the new legislator, Brady Brammer, representing House District 27, and Senator Dan Hemmert of Senate District 14. We invited also Mike Kennedy, the former representative for House District 27, to come speak. And so it's a chance for citizens to meet with their current legislators from those two legislative districts, and also to hear some war stories and some wisdom from Mike Kennedy, who had served 6 years in the State House. And so, yeah, a lot of people came. We had a good time. We even, in opening the meeting, it was kind of funny. I thought we should sing our state song, but I didn't know what the state song was. So I asked the group, what's our state song? And nobody knew for sure. And then a lady raised her hand and said, Utah, We Love Thee is the name of the song. I had never heard of that. And then another person in consulting Wikipedia learned that the legislature changed the state song, Utah, We Love Thee, into the state hymn, apparently, and chose a new song called Utah, This Is the Place, as the state song. And so I've been humming that Utah, This Is the Place all weekend long. Can't get it out of my mind. It's really quite nice. That was kind of fun. And we learned, you know, what Brady and Dan, what their legislative priorities would be. We can't go into all of the details, but I thought it was interesting to note, Sam, that Dan Hemmert, he's just served 2 years in the Senate so far, and he said that one of the things he would like to do is repair the damage and back out some of the damage that was done by this initiative passed by Utahns to expand Medicaid. You know, I've long been an opponent of Medicaid and Medicaid expansion in the state of Utah. I was gratified to hear that Dan would like to oppose that as well. The reason he doesn't like it is the same reason you and I don't like it, right? I mean, because if Utah, it's like writing a blank check, Sam, where Utah says we're going to cover the cost of health care for thousands and thousands more people who sign up for it, and we're going to do that without knowing how many people are going to sign up, without knowing the cost that will come to the state of Utah. And it's going to...
Well, and hold on. It violates the fundamental principle of thou shalt not steal as well, though. To take my money, I've got 8 children and 4 grandchildren, to take my money to pay for other people's health care based on this, you know, premise of Social Security or Medicaid, Medicare, based on this idea in the past that we got to help the elderly. You know, it's just simply adding insult to injury. It's doubling down on the thou shalt not steal discussion here. Now, there's a lot of other reasons that we can talk about. Hey, we don't know how much it's going to cost. But all those are downstream discussions from the real core. You don't have the right to take my money, no matter how great your intentions are. It is not yours to give.
You're absolutely right, Sam. That is the fundamental problem with any welfare program, whether it's Medicaid expansion or food stamps or public education or, you know, any of those things. It's immoral, Sam, for me to walk across the street to your house and demand that you educate my children, you pay for my health care, you give me food stamps, you know, the money to buy my food. I mean, that's fundamentally immoral. I totally 100% agree with you there. I just thought it was, you know, and I wonder why our legislators don't bring up the moral argument more often. I really wonder why, you know, Ron Paul was always good to bring up the moral argument as well as the constitutional argument, in addition to the economic argument. But, you know, people, I don't know why people don't speak about that more often, and so I appreciate your bringing that up first right here on this show, because that really is the fundamental reason why I am against welfare programs in truth. So, yeah, that's a great point, Sam, and, you know, I want to, you know, springboard onto item number four, if that's okay, because I want to get your take on this.
Absolutely, sir. I get it. Sure.
This idea of how to disconnect Utah from the U.S. Department of Education. Larry Mulcock of South Jordan, Utah, brought forth the idea over the past, I don't know, 6 months or so, been talking to me about it. And finally, I decided to take a closer look at it. And at the meeting on Friday night, he passed out a flyer. And the flyer describes a revenue-neutral plan to how Utah could disconnect from U.S. Department of Education. It'd be revenue neutral for the nation, for the U.S. Treasury. It'd be revenue neutral to Utahns. Now, here again, he's not coming out with the fundamental moral issue that it's immoral for me to force you to pay for the education of my children, but he's taking a really pragmatic approach here, Sam. To this, basically what he's suggesting is that Utahns no longer pay to the feds the money that's going to come back from the feds to the state of Utah, right? And so, in other words, if there's a, I don't know how much the feds give Utah, but let's just say it's $1 billion, okay? So we know that in the upcoming year, the feds are going to give $1 billion to the state of Utah. Now, the strings come strings attached money. But that's money coming from the feds to the state of Utah. And so what Larry is suggesting here, and he's putting this into a legislative bill, actually for the legislature to consider this year, is that Utahns, on their Utah income tax, would give to the state of Utah the money that, you know, in aggregate is going to be coming back from the IRS anyway. And so that money goes to the state of Utah. And then on the 1040 form, IRS form 1040, on line 73, you guys can look it up. I pulled out my state tax return last night just to look this up. But there's a line 73 where you can get credit for taxes already paid. And it's box D, basically. It's, you know, line 73, box D. And you mark that box, and then you name the form. And we here in Utah, we would put TC. Whatever our form number, TC-40 is the Utah form, individual income tax return. And you'd check that box, you'd say TC-40, and then you'd write in on line 73 the amount that you paid to the state of Utah instead of to the U.S. Treasury. And so it's a ready-made solution. And I don't know, I'd like to get your take on.
All right, so I'm going to answer really quick, then I want to turn it over to Kurt. He hasn't had a chance to chime in on this at all and on other topics this hour at all. Sadly, I've had a little bit of technical trouble, I guess, getting with Kurt here on this. He's had a car trouble and he's on the road, and so he's doing the best he can to chime in. I would say this, from a fundamental principle, I hate to do anything, and I'm going to be honest with Larry, I hate to do anything that gives unconstitutionality more power. And so to use an IRS form, look, we need to abolish the IRS, not entrench other. In other words, you create realities on top of realities on top of realities, making it so difficult to unwind. So I hate to put another thing giving the IRS some legitimacy, if you will. So from a Puritan point of view, I'm concerned about that. From a reality point of view, so we teach to the ideal, and that's what I just highlighted. But we live in the real, which means, as Kurt wisely points out oftentimes, we've got to move the needle of liberty, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's not, as much as we would like, even if it's not as pure of a solution as we'd want, at least it's in the right direction some. And in that vein, living in the real, I would support it completely. Because I get that we've got to start somewhere and we've got to get the federal government out of this. And you know, the Republicans have promised to abolish the education department for my whole life, almost. So it, certainly there's some merit to his points for sure. Kurt, you want to chime in?
You know, I think you said it very well, Sam. And, you know, I would just simply, you know, go beyond that thing. Imagine if every state basically said, look, you know, you guys will just save you a lot of paperwork. We'll save all these trees. You've been getting this much money from us. We'll turn it over to you on good behavior. In the meantime, you've been handing us all this money back. So we'll just turn over to you all this less so that we can save all those, all that paperwork and all that time. And, you know, it'll begin to make it where that, you know, we can get back to where we need to be, and that is where the states collect whatever taxes. The federal government would give us a bill based on what we owe us, what part of ours we have to pay, and then, you know, things. I think that would be a great start to it, you know.
Yeah, so what do you think of our response? I want to make sure people understand the ideal, though. I never want to leave the opportunity for people to understand and learn correct principles. At the same time, I say, you know what? You know, it's kind of like birth control. Or it's kind of like sex education. I don't want sex education at all, folks, in government school. I don't want government school, period. But if we're going to have government school, and if we're going to live in the real, if we're going to have government school, and if we're going to teach about sex, let's at least talk about the abstinence-only ideas, right? And so, again, is that a perfect plan? No. Do I like it? Well, it's not as good as the ideal, but it is in the real, and it's been doing a lot of good, at least bringing that option for people to understand up. And so the problem is it's a very tough battle, and every time we can move the needle towards liberty, towards morality, the better. That's the real view. Lol.
Yeah, it's sort of a sideways move in a way, but I kind of like it. I hesitate to fully endorse this for the very reasons you described, which is where you're building, a system on a system, and I'm reluctant to do that. But it would give the state of Utah more leverage. I mean, right now we get probably a third of our budget comes from the feds. Now, not all of that goes to education, but a big chunk of it does. I mean. And so if we took that away from the Fed then, and just use that money ourselves, number one, we would cut down on the bureaucracy. And as you know, for every dollar you send to Washington, you only get a few cents back, maybe 20 cents or 25 cents. I'm not sure what the number is, but you only get that back because of the bureaucracy it goes through in Washington, D.C. Well, so we cut out the middleman, and we just retain those funds here. And if we did that for all federal programs, not just education, but this became like the first of domino, then we would finally find that Utah could support itself. We wouldn't depend on the feds, and we wouldn't be manipulated by the strings that they attach to the block grants of money they give back to the state of Utah. What do you think?
I agree. I completely agree. And that's the difference between the ideal and the real. And sometimes we as conservatives get caught in that battle. I'm pushing for the ideal and somebody else is pushing for the real. And we seem like we disagree. And I don't think we really do. Our goal, our joint quest would be to push the needle towards liberty. And I think sometimes we get stuck in our own viewpoints to where we got to step back and get a bigger picture about, hey, how do we marry the ideal and the real? And it's a very tough battle, but a worthy one to explore and to work on together. And I would say good for Larry for thinking outside of the box. And I'd say this, it's a little bit of a lateral move. I concur completely. At the same time, I would support his plan because it's the only thing out there, in my opinion, that has viability that won't just get ignored and sidelined. At least it has some legitimacy. So it's a start. And we ought to get him on the program and talk about it with him. Lol.
I'll hook you up. That'll be good.
All right, we'd like you on with us, too. Can you stay with us next hour?
I'm sorry I can't.
All right, I'm going to save this Chris Ann Hall interview. We got to talk about that.
Next time.
Her column is incredible. All right, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.